You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to another instalment of the Ravens Weekly podcast. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined as ever by the man who's always in this room with me doing these podcasts, Josh Tindall. Josh, how are you?
I don't know whether to be offended by that intro or happy.
You should be extremely happy. That was me at my most enthusiastic. I'm smiling right now. This is me smiling. Can you hear it? Can you hear the enthusiasm in my voice?
I know. I was going to say, why are you describing your smile when no one can see your smile?
That is true. Well, I think you can. Sometimes I think you can hear. I listen to a lot of radio.
Yeah.
And you can tell when people are smiling, I think, anyway. Anyway.
Can anyone tell that I'm smiling now?
I can tell that you're smiling. I'm going to look away now.
Okay. Am I smiling?
I don't know. No, you're not smiling.
You literally just turned around.
I didn't. No one can see.
Anyway.
On with the podcast. Thank you to all of you joining us, wherever you're listening in from and whenever you are listening to us. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. We've got a lot coming up for you on today's show. We'll be joined by Andy Woodman, as always. Todd Miller is our player guest this week. We've got new signings to catch up on, news from our low knees as well. There's a lot coming up. And of course, we've got Mr. Roy Oliver on for you later, as well as another special guest. So we'll come on to all of that shortly. Josh, it's been quite a busy week. You've been very busy writing up player announcements. It's always good to see the reaction and the traction that it gets on social media.
Yeah, no, I think it's gone down well. I mean, I think a lot of people knew it was happening at the weekend. I know me and you got asked a couple of times about the new lads coming in. I think over at Arsenal, I think it got out a little bit, and I think it sort of, you know, flew over here.
It does, doesn't it?
It's that's football, though, isn't it?
Do you know what?
That's why we have Twitter or X.
That's a good. We've got to that stage now. The transfer rumours are circulating about Bromley FC.
I know
that never used to be the case. It is now. It's a nice problem to have. But in all seriousness, Josh,
I think we should start one that's just completely not true.
We should start one internally with
and
Ravens
see,
chat.
See how far it gets.
And see how far it gets out into the fan base.
Yeah.
That would be most unprofessional. We will not be doing that.
We're not doing that.
We speak in jest.
So if we're linked with... Who could we be linked with? Memphis Depay.
Yeah.
It's not come from us.
No. 100%.
We're not, by the way.
You didn't hear it here first.
No.
Anyway, the first of those actual real signings that did happen was Ryan Jones. Ryan Jones joined on loan from Bristol Rovers until January. He had a good season last year on a personal level with Hungerford Town. Unfortunately, they did get relegated from the National League South. However, he enjoyed a fantastic individual season where he contributed with a few goals, plenty of assists and a couple of awards in the process as well. It was good to meet Ryan, wasn't it? Very down-to-earth, humble guy.
Yeah, it was good. He's obviously come over from Bristol Rovers. I think he travelled on the day as well, so he's a bit tired ahead of the game on Saturday, which probably shown in the sense that he didn't come on Saturday, because I know Andy wanted to play him. So I think the move was a quick one, and he came over here, and he had a good season last year. I think he won Young Player of the Month, Player of the Season at Hungerford, didn't he? I mean, he's eager to, you know, grow his career, and hopefully he can do that here.
Well, it's we said in his interview, do have a look at the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and our YouTube at Bromley FC for the interview with Ryan. But it's an interesting one for him. He's played a lot of his football in the West Country and surrounding regions. This is the furthest east that he's ever been up in this neck of the woods. Yeah. So it's a move away from home for him as a young player, which is one thing, but certainly a player that, that came across to me anyway, Josh, that he was very determined and just wanted to crack on and play football.
I think that's the thing with the young players. I think it's a big hurdle that you sort of have to tackle early on, which is leaving home, leaving sort of your comfort zone and stuff. And I think once you've done that, you know that if teams come calling or whatever, you're not limited to where you're at. So, and I think that's what he's done. He's, you know, expanded away and come to Bromley. And I know we've had that with like Ryan Sterk and stuff. They've had to come from Birmingham and things like that. And we'll move on to Lewis Lee, but he's similar as well, coming from, you know, Liverpool, Preston area. So I think once you do that early on, it just makes it easier in future when teams from, I don't know, wherever come calling, you know, that settling in may not be such an issue.
Absolutely. And we'll come on to that with Andy Woodman, actually, in terms of the settling in element and how welcoming the squad are here at Bromley FC. Anyway, moving on from that, our under-21s made the trip to Cobham last Friday evening, and they came away 3-1 victors thanks to goals from Shyam Tank, Nathan Paul-Lavalli and Finn Roberts. So well done to them. Fantastic start to the season, Josh. They've been smashing the goals in.
I mean, it gets better every year, doesn't it? I mean, you know, a couple of years back, they started off strong, but obviously it's, you know, it's a bit up and down and last season as well. But this year they've just, you know, anyone that's sort of faced them, just, yeah, they're not too fazed by it.
They're a force to be reckoned with.
They are, yeah.
And they really are.
They've been up there the past couple of years winning, trying to win the league, and hopefully this time they can.
Well, congratulations to Jamel and all of the team. What a fantastic start to the season, and let's hope that carries on in the upcoming games.
I don't know what I think I've been told before, but it's not a promotion relegation thing, is it?
And I don't think it is, no.
I think it's just you win the league and that's it, which is probably what Andy sort of alludes to with the whole difference between the under-21s to the men's game is you're not experiencing the men's game at that level, and that goes for the supporters not being there and whatever. But I think it also is the whole pressure of relegation, promotion, when I don't think it is there. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's still the same batch of teams. I think you're just registering again for the next year. Could be wrong, but...
Indeed, indeed. But anyway, good luck to the under-23s in their upcoming fixtures. Moving back onto first team matters then. And Bromley, of course, as we've alluded to, made the trip to Altrincham last Saturday. And for the first time ever, Josh, we went to Altrincham and the sun came out. It was boiling hot.
It was beautiful.
It was gorgeous. I was waiting for you to say another superlative about Altrincham there. And
Sunny.
Well, it was sunny. I can't disagree with that, but yeah, it was hot in the press box, wasn't it? It's a bit stuffy, probably because of all the hot air you and I were talking, mostly first and foremost. But anyway, Josh and I were on media duty on the commentary.
That was Matt laughing at his own joke.
It was your reaction that made me laugh. People can't see that. This is the problem. We need to live stream this.
We do. Yeah. Oh, that'll be dangerous. The amount of times we cut out of this. Live streaming it is dangerous.
Okay, not live stream. We need to record it then.
Yeah. True.
We need to record it. There needs to be video. It needs to be a vlog or...
A vlog.
Anyway, before we get too carried away, back to the football. Altrincham, we were speaking to a couple of people on the way back about the fact that Bromley have a pretty good record at Altrincham. I've never seen us lose there. Touch wood, that's cardboard, but yeah.
So
there, the table. And it was a different kind of game this time.
Yeah.
However, Altrincham have developed into a very, very good passing side, which saw them have a lot of possession in that game. They put the pressure on in the second half, as they did previously, but they just moved the ball about so well, didn't they? It was tough for Bromley to break them down.
Yeah, it was definitely. I saw a difference in the Altrincham team on Saturday compared to the past couple of years. And, you know, wouldn't be surprised if they're up there in the next couple of years competing for the playoffs. So, yeah, it was another good result. And like you said, we've had good days there. Last season, obviously, won 2-1 again. And season before that, Omar scored and we kept a clean sheet. So, yeah, it's been good and more good memories from Saturday.
Absolutely, indeed. You talk about the good memories. It was a brilliant strike from Corey Whiteley to open the scoring.
It was brilliant. I think there was a hole in the top corner. I think he just...
took it out, didn't he?
Burnt the top corner.
It was a scorcher.
An incredible strike indeed, Matt.
It was. Well, I think people need to see it on YouTube. So head to Bromley FC on YouTube to see the goal in all its glory. I think Corey really deserves that from his last few games. He's been one of our standout players this season and just looks fitter than ever. Him alongside Jude Arthurs in that South End game really stood out to me, just in terms of how much they run and how much ground they covered during the game. And an absolutely incredible strike. And he could have had one against Barnet, that 30-yard effort, cannoning off the crossbar.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's come close a few times, so I'm really pleased for him to get that goal. Unfortunately for Bromley, it was pretty short-lived, the lead there, as Justin Amaluzor equalised from a corner routine, which rifled an effort into the top corner beyond Grant Smith. Not a lot he could have done about it, but yeah, it kind of caught us out, that routine, didn't it?
It did, yeah. I think we said at the time it was one of those things, just weren't really switched on for it and paid the price. So yeah, but you know, we bounced back from it.
Indeed we did. And as time went on into the second half, Altrincham continued to attack. Grant Smith pulled off some brilliant saves towards the end of the first half and throughout the second half. And then, Josh, two inspired substitutions.
Yeah, Mr. James Vennings and Mr. Todd Miller.
Combined really well, didn't they? James Vennings winning the ball back on the far side, chasing a lost cause, really, and then winning it successfully, threading a perfectly weighted ball into the box for the on-rushing Todd Miller, and he slotted it under the reach of Ethan Ross and into the bottom corner for his first Bromley goal. A great moment for him. You could see what it meant. And of course, what it meant to the fans and the fact that it was putting Bromley in a great position, let's not forget, against the side who hadn't lost yet.
Yeah, no, it was a really good finish. And I know Todd speaks about that in his interview and, you know, celebrating in front of the supporters as well. So, yeah, he was happy with it. And, yeah, it's good to, you know, as an attacker, you want to get off the mark early. And I know Todd hasn't had that much game time because of, you know, starting on the bench and coming in a bit later than everyone else. But yeah, no, it was a good end to a good afternoon.
It was indeed. And Bromley came away from the J. Davidson Stadium with 3 points again, and against a very, very good side, I have to say. Altrincham, a fantastic passing team, and that makes it all the more a better result. Two wins on the spin and 5 unbeaten, which, you look at the first couple of games, you may not have seen that coming.
Yeah, true. And, you know, it's easy to panic early on and not really see a way out when injuries and results aren't going in your way. But, you know, they've turned it around. And, yeah, I mean, can't really complain. I think, like you said, Altrincham are a really tough team. So to go there and come away with, you know, with the 3 points and another good performance, yeah, you can't complain.
Indeed. But as a result of that performance and a lot of excellent goalkeeping, inspired substitutions.
It was brilliant goalkeeping.
It was incredible. And you've put some of the clips on social media, actually, so it's well worth having a look or watching the highlights. Absolutely unreal stuff from Grant Smith, but we just expect it from him now. He's that good. Andy Woodman got Manager of the Week, and Grant Smith got in the National League Team of the Week, which was fantastic. Grant Smith also got in the Vanarama Team of the Week, so a double for Grant Smith, and great for Andy Woodman to get Manager of the Week for the National League Team of the Week, and very well deserved, may I say, as well. Now, we talked about a moment ago the match winner, Todd Miller, and Josh, you had the pleasure of catching up with the man himself on this week's podcast. Here's how it went down.
Todd Miller, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Sorry. How have you settled in to your time at Bromley?
Yeah, it's been really good. Just adjusting to first team football still. Obviously, like last season with the first experience I got, but it's still just getting used to being in that sort of environment where it means a lot more than it does in academy level. But I feel like I've settled in quite well. And yeah, just still itching to go, really.
And how have you found your new teammates? Is there anyone that you're closest to? Or
I say I get on well with everyone. Yeah, just trying to get to know as many people as I can, I guess. Still in those sorts of stages. I'm fairly quiet, I suppose, in the dressing room. I feel like that's more my personality. So I'm never going to be the loudest. But yeah, just sort of keep myself to myself, but talk to everyone in the team, yeah.
Is it easier for you as a player to come in during a time where there's a lot of new players coming in? Does it make you settle in a bit quicker knowing that you're only going to be, say, the new player for only a couple of days and then someone else is going to be that new player?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I suppose I'm always used to people coming and going as well. It's the same, especially at Brighton, lots of trialists all the time and lots of signings throughout the season. And then obviously first team football players come and go all the time. So yeah, it's just good that obviously a lot of the boys coming in are similar ages to me, so you can get to know people that way as well. And obviously I've known players from playing against them at academy level as well. So yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And how have you found working under Andy Woodman, Dunny, Steve, the coaching staff here?
Yeah, really good. I feel like I'm learning a lot. There's a lot I still need to learn. Just getting used to, like I said, the intensity. I feel like there's a lot of things that I need to work on in my game, and just sort of bring it out of me every day. Instead of just showing what I'm good at all the time, I obviously need to improve my defensive responsibilities as well. But yeah, so just carrying on with that really, and then showing what I can do going forward.
Let's talk about Saturday. That was a good moment, wasn't it? Yeah. Could you describe that feeling when the ball hit the net?
No, it was good. It was a good moment for me. First senior goal. Happy for it to have gone in. Just waiting for it to hit the back of the net, really, when I was watching it go in. But no, it was a good feeling. I feel like I've worked quite hard the past couple of weeks to get up to match fitness and to get sharp again. And I felt good. And yeah, I just feel like it was a bit of a resemblance of the team's work and the work that I put in as well myself.
And obviously results are going in our favour at the minute. How has the mood sort of changed in the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I feel like as a team we feel a lot more confident in all areas of the pitch. I think we're defending really well and we sort of know our game plan now. So everyone sort of is on the same wavelength in how to defend and how to attack. And I feel like we're just starting to get little bits of luck on our side as well, which we probably weren't getting in the first couple of games. But yeah, no, everyone's spirits are high. Training's really well, playing really well, everyone feels confident. So yeah, it's only positive really.
And for those who don't know, could you sort of describe your background? How did you get into football?
Well, to be fair, I've played a lot of my life's been playing for my local team. I joined Colchester at the end of the 14 season. So that's my first academy. So I've only really been in academy football for about five seasons now, or professional football, sorry, 5 seasons now. So I'm still pretty rare, I suppose, in terms of like some of the decisions I make aren't orthodox all the time, and I've still got a lot to learn. So I feel like that's probably why it's a really good environment, because I still need to learn a lot. I don't feel like I'm the finished article. I feel like I've still got a lot to add into my game, and I feel like that's what hopefully I'll be doing over the next couple of months, and hopefully I'll be seeing improvements myself during the game. But I've come up Colchester Academy, made my first team debut there at 16, and then moved over to Brighton, spent 4 years at Brighton in the academy. Ups and downs. I found the first couple of years quite challenging because just adjusting to Premier League style football and adjusting to the quality of other players around me, because all of a sudden I'm probably one of the worst players in the team, whereas I was probably the best player in the team at Colchester throughout the academies. And then I went to Doncaster last January. It was an interesting experience. Obviously, first time in a men's environment, first time playing first team football. Obviously, I would have liked to have played more than I did, but to be fair, there's a lot I needed to learn. And obviously, looking back at it now and reflecting back on my time that I had there, it's a positive one, really, because I've taken so much out of it in terms of off the pitch, for like training standards and everything like that, and defensive responsibilities on the pitch, as well as just going forward, because I feel like the biggest part of my game probably is my attacking part of my game. So, yeah, just that's the biggest thing, really.
And I don't think you know, but on the way back on Saturday, a group of supporters actually wrote a song about you, which hopefully will be sung on the terrace very soon. But how have you found playing in front of the supporters here?
No, really good. Obviously, watching the goal back, you see all the supporters going a little bit crazy after, which is nice to see. And obviously celebrating with all the players. And I've got a few nice comments from the fans as well. And yeah, no, it's a really good club to play for. Fans are travelling long ways to go to the game, especially Altrincham, quite a long way to go, and train strikes as well. So it's obviously a dedicated fan base, and obviously that's what players play for the fans and play for the club as well. So yeah.
We've got Maidenhead at home on Saturday. How are you and the lads feeling?
Yeah, I think everyone's in a good place. Obviously, few boys have come in, so it's going to be competitive, but hopefully, like the gaffer said, it'll increase training standards and it'll increase standards throughout and make difficult decisions for him. And obviously that's everyone's job coming in, is to make his decision as hard as possible coming up every game on the weekend. So obviously same, I'm thinking the same way, hopefully trying to get into the team, but if not, make an impact on the bench if I get on the bench, and then go again the next game.
Brilliant chat with Todd Miller there, Josh. It's clear to see the talent that he's got and actually what he can bring to the team. He offers something completely different, and I'm really pleased to see him grab his first goal at a really pivotal moment in that game. It was ultimately what got us the 3 points, and a cool finish. Ice running through the veins there from Todd Miller. Well done to him. Now, moving on to the Bromley women, and we've got a couple of elements to discuss on this one. They had a fantastic afternoon on Sunday, didn't they, with a 6-0 victory over Bexhill. And you can head to the website to find out more about that victory and also watch the goals from it. A great start to the season from the Bromley women. And, something we'll touch on later with Ryan Dempsey, but actually Charlotte Bennett, who came through our soccer schools and the youth teams and is now in the academy, and also I believe now works in Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen, scored one of the goals. And that is an incredible story for Charlotte and her family, her parents, Les and Claire, who put so much time into the club. It's brilliant to see. And what a fantastic way that is, Josh, to warm up for a big game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we speak about, you know, the young players coming through the men's team, but the same thing's happening with the women's team as well. And it's good to see the academy continuing to grow talent, whether that's in the men's game or the women's game. So, yeah, really, really good to see Charlotte score. And, it was a really good result, 6-0. Dominant performance, and, you know, they just keep getting better.
They do indeed. And it's great to see people coming down, getting down and supporting them. And they're really going to need that this Sunday.
A lot of people were saying on social media, it was my first game. It was my first game. Really enjoyed it. And I think when the team wins 6-0 as well,
like, can't not enjoy it.
I just adds to it as well.
Can't not enjoy it. But well done to Steve, Dave, and all the management team and all of the fantastic players in that team. come on down on Sunday and back them as they go up against Seven Oaks Town. It's a local derby, if you like, in the FA Cup first qualifying round. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff at the Relocatum Community Stadium. Remember that club members go free for that one. You can book your tickets online at bromleyfc.co.uk. It could be a double header for you this weekend. Saturday football, Bromley versus Maidenhead. Sunday football, Women's FA Cup, Bromley versus Seven Oaks Town. Come on down and enjoy a weekend at the Relocatum Community Stadium, and hopefully we'll see victories for both teams over the weekend. So good luck to the Bromley women. We'll be keeping tabs on that and are hoping that we'll get to see them in the next round of the FA Cup. Best of luck to all involved.
It's always good in the FA Cup, isn't it?
It's FA Cup fever. That's what it is, FA Cup fever. And
last
year
was a bit difficult to have Millwall, so obviously higher opposition, and it showed. But the year before that was Hastings United, wasn't it?
It was. It is always going to be difficult in a
good atmosphere. Obviously, it was a record crowd last year, so beat the one before. So hopefully, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we live in hope. Good luck to the team. They've certainly got what it takes to get through. So we'll be hoping that that is the case on Sunday. 3 o'clock kickoff. Get on down to the Relocatum Community Stadium to support them. Moving on, talking about two of our other loanees that were brought in at the very last minute with the transfer window closing last Friday at 11 p.m. And that was Alex Kirk and Kido Taylor-Hart. And it's great to see when they came in, Josh. You know, you were dealing with them in terms of the media stuff, and obviously we sat down for an interview, which you can catch on YouTube. Just type in Bromley FC. How impressed they were with what was around them, and actually coming from a club like that, how excited they were to get going.
Yeah, I think they were very, not surprised, but I think, well, yeah, to be fair, I think they probably were surprised. I think, you know, when you sat there at Arsenal and you're told, you know, you're going to go off on loan in the National League, I think immediately you're going to think, like, yeah, it's not going to be great. You just get your head down, play well, come back. But I think they came here and really impressed with the facilities. And yeah, I know Alex has had experience in Scotland, so I think he was sort of comparing here to over there. And I think he's excited to start playing his football in England now. And you know, hopefully doing well for us, which means ultimately he'll go back to Arsenal a better player.
Absolutely. And the two of them really, really exciting. They're with us for the season on loan. Best of luck to both of them, of course. If you missed it, Alex Kirk is a defender. As you mentioned there, Josh, represented Ayr United in Scotland as well and was very well liked there. And Kido Taylor-Hart, an exciting winger he's described as, who has also spent time on loan with the youth setup at Derby County and embarks on his first loan spell in men's football. So we're really excited to see both of them take to the field for Bromley and hopefully make an impact on us this season as we look to improve on last year. Just on the loan front, but not the loan in, the loan out front this time, George Alexander has 6 goals in 6 games for Slough Town. He scored again at Dartford on Tuesday night as Slough Town recorded a 2-1 victory, an impressive result and a tough place to go. He's on fire.
If there was a Lionel Messi of the National League South, it would be George Alexander.
I think he made 7 appearances for Slough on the loan spell he was in last season, scored 6 goals. He's now got 6 in 6. He's got 12 goals in 13 games for Slough. Yeah, incredible.
I mean, this isn't going to do him any sort of damage. I know people question the fact he's out on loan, but to score every week like he is doing, it's not doing any harm, is it?
Absolutely.
Back an even better player than he was before. So, yeah, just I'm not shocked. He's way too good for that league anyway. And we said that when he was on the podcast before, that he's definitely should be playing regular in the National League. But, you know, he's still young, and you get why these players still need to go out on loan. And, yeah, I mean, it's only short term as well. So who knows what this season will bring for him. But yeah, it's just everywhere he's going out on loan, whether that's Welling, Slough. He's just doing what he does.
He scores goals. That's why he does. That's why he does. Well done to George, and we look forward to seeing him continue to smash it and do so for Bromley as well. Now, we're moving on to the academy side of things, and they've got another new member of staff. As the academy grows and develops and expands its workforce, we were delighted to be joined by Ryan Dempsey earlier. We sat down with the new head of girls in the academy, and here's what he had to say.
Ryan Dempsey, thank you for joining us on the podcast. How have you found everything so far?
It's been really good. Everyone's been really welcoming. A lot of information to be taken on, but it's been really good so far. So, looking forward to getting started over the next weeks and months.
For those who don't know, could you describe what your job role is?
So I'm head of Girls Academy here. So my main focus at the moment is working with the Academy 16 to 19s. So we play in the National Youth Alliance League. So our first game is next week in the league, which we're looking forward to.
And how have you found, you know, the facilities of not only the academy, but the place as a whole?
Unbelievable, really. I've played here and used the facilities for training. Obviously not really had access to behind the scenes of all the extra infrastructure that's in place. So that was a massive surprise, which I'm looking forward to maximising and using to advance the girls moving forwards.
And what is your day-to-day role like?
Mainly planning the sessions for I think we've got a squad of 24, liaising with the education department to ensure that all the girls are doing well from that respect. And then I suppose next couple of weeks we'll be planning for recruitment for next season.
It must be good to be part of an academy that's quite a progressive one, in the sense that it pioneered the girls' academy a few years back, and it's something that's really grown and they're treated the same as the boys, and that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the main reasons that when I saw the job advert come out that drew me to it. Obviously, I'm pretty local, so I'm just down the road, so I knew that I knew of Bromley and what they're doing collectively as a club, but especially with the girls' side. So it's something that I've kept an eye on over the last couple of years, just to see if the moment is right for potentially me coming in. Luckily, that all aligned for my current role at the moment.
And that's exactly what happened, as you say there. But the other elements of the club as well all dovetails very nicely in terms of the women and girls stuff, I guess. You've met with Andrea, who is the Women and Girls Development Officer for the Community Trust. We do a lot of work for women and girls. Obviously, there's the Academy and there's the Bromley Women as well, who've got an FA Cup game coming up this weekend. So there's all different kinds of opportunities for women and girls here.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't realise how much there was until the meeting with Andrea, and how much that's grown over, I think, the last 18 months, I think, since Andrea's come in. It's something for myself that we're going to help hopefully grow and get some more players from the academy into the youth team, into the first team under 18s, but also celebrate some of the success stories at the moment. So I think there's a couple of the academy girls that are playing for the first team, but also coaching for the girls academy as well. I think so that's really good. So we're looking to hopefully get more girls into coaching as well, to help grow that and keep that community base that Bromley have done so well with over the last few years.
And there are a couple in and around the women's team at the moment, aren't there? Charlotte Bennett scoring on Sunday in a 6-0 win over Bexhill. There's a lot of talent there. I guess you've been able to see that in your first few sessions with them.
Yeah, definitely. The talented, I think they're pretty committed as well, part of the programme with their education and football. There are long days. They're committed to make sure they do the both. I think, what is it? Talent works hard if... I can't remember what the phrase is, but... there's some very good players here, and we're looking forward to hopefully develop them. And we've had some good intake of first years as well, some very talented players there. So we're looking forward to push those and potentially get them in with the first team as well.
Can you tell us a bit about your own background and your own personal journey as a football coach?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in North Devon, a long way away from where we are at the moment. And I started off obviously playing there and wasn't good enough to make it, I suppose. Played like decent semi-professional level, but and then yeah, my best mate's dad set up like a football academy that was linked with Plymouth, and then I just started like just holiday camps, just like collecting all the balls and putting the cones out and things like that. And then like I think I was like maybe 16, 17 when I started. And then it just kind of just grew from there, really. And then I moved to Bristol, and I worked for like West Brom's development centre that was based there. We're lucky enough to have like four or five players that that moved into their academy, so that was a really good insight into going up to Birmingham and seeing that environment in there. And then part of that role as well, I worked for an organisation called Bristol Inner City, where we're based with, it was all boys at that time, based in the city of Bristol, that have been released from Bristol Rovers, Bristol City, Newport, and then we got them back involved in football, and then the plan was to get them back into pro club. So again, that worked out pretty successfully, so I'm still in contact with some of those players, and Patrick, who runs that. And then I moved from Bristol to London. I got a job working for Fulham. So I started off at the foundations as a PE coach and worked for their performance centre. And then started working for the academy with the pre-academy and under nines. And then worked with the scouting and player liaison bit with the 16s and the 18s on match days, which was a real insight into that as well. And then alongside that, I started working for St Mary's University, started doing the women's team from there. And then I'm now head coach for Dulwich Hamlet women's team as well, a part of my role that I'm working for Bromley as well.
And going back to your current role, we've got some characters in our academy. I'm sure you've met Luke Coulson and Scott Wagstaff and all the coaches that we've got here. How have they been to you? How welcoming have they been?
If I'm honest, yeah, I couldn't have helped. Couldn't have wished for a better start, really, with all those guys. As part of one of the reasons why I wanted to come back into just working in football. Like previously, I worked for Girls United, which is more of a community based, which is amazing. But just getting to talk about football, who like every single day, just picking their brains, coming in, it's been really, really good. Everyone's been really helpful, challenged me as well, which is exactly what you want in any part of your role. Don't just want everyone to say yes or just be helpful. So you want everyone to question any decisions as well moving forward. So I'm super excited to get my teeth stuck into and helping those guys and them helping me.
And what are your personal targets for this coming season?
So I suppose, yeah, the next 4 weeks is just to try to embed my core values and beliefs, which do match along with Bromley's at the moment, get to know the girls, get to find out what makes them tick. And then I suppose from October onwards, it's trying to add a little bit of like the personal development for themselves, some team stuff as well, and hopefully have a successful season.
Well, Ryan, it's been a pleasure catching up with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we can catch up with you in a few weeks once you've got some games under your belts, all of you. Best of luck.
A pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bromley fans will be forgiven for thinking it's all over after deadline day, yeah, and after Monday's announcements.
Well, you weren't thinking that because you knew it, but I was
I knew about it, yeah. Like,
perfect. Let's crack on with the game on Saturday.
And the programme and various other things.
But no.
We've got another one. Another one came through the door, and of course, most of you will have seen that by now, that Lewis Lee has joined on a youth loan from Preston North End until January. And it's another very exciting young player who enters Andy Woodman's squad, one that has been personally recommended to him by Freddie Woodman, of course, his son, a goalkeeper at Preston North End, and one that knows Lewis very well. The management team rate him very, very highly, and it's another exciting signing that's coming into this team, another young player who Andy Woodman is going to give the opportunity to flourish here at the football club, and someone, Josh, that ultimately has played in the Championship on an occasion and also in the FL Cup a handful of times.
Yeah, well, not only that, but I think he was in the match day squad a few times for Preston as well last year for, you know, various championship games. So even though he wasn't playing regular, he was still in and amongst the first team. And yeah, I mean, he came up through the ranks at Liverpool, and yeah, it obviously didn't work out there, but you know, we see the talent that Liverpool, you know, that they grow there. And yeah, it's just carried on at Preston, and like you said, they rate him highly, and hopefully now he can get some regular men's football over here and, you know, progress to go back there.
Absolutely, and what a great guy he is as well. Really good character coming in.
Really good.
He immediately sat down with Grant Smith, was chatting to him. He brought his mum down as well to have a look around and see the place, which was really, really nice. And he's described as a tough tackling midfielder, kind of in the mould of Ryan Sterk, I think, somebody draw a comparison to. So really excited to see him play and in what is already a very, very talented Bromley midfield. So lots of competition for places now with these players coming in. Moving on now to Community Corner.
Yay.
Now it's going to be is that our new jingle? Is that all we've got? That all you've got?
Community.
I like that. That's a bit better. We'll go with that
also,
for now.
I'm not criticizing your transitions, Matt, but I'm going to do a bingo. Not a bingo, but like, what is it? It's not a sweepstake, but like, you know what I mean? Of every time you say moving on.
A lottery.
In an episode.
A lottery. Okay. Or a sweepstake. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. You are criticizing my transitions, basically, but you're just trying to do it nicely.
We progress. To the next section.
Moving forward.
Yeah, true.
Hashtag moving forward. Those that know, know. Anyway, we are going to talk briefly about the new term for the Community Trust now, which kind of doesn't operate on an annual kind of basis or in line with the football season necessarily. It kind of works alongside the academic year because a lot of our stuff is targeted at children who, of course, are at school as well. So it's hugely exciting a few weeks ahead for us now as we head back into our primary schools next week, 5 days a week, running after school clubs, running lunchtime clubs, which is all very, very exciting. We work across a number of schools. You will have had flyers and information provided if your child goes to one of those schools. Do come along and join us at the clubs. We're going to be getting the players out to come and visit the schools and visit the children and meet everyone and say hello. Hugely exciting time. And that doesn't only include off-site school activities. Our new term, our autumn term, if you like, also covers all the various activities we've got going on here at Hayes Lane, from our Monday sessions to our Tuesday girls soccer schools and our Saturday soccer schools, development groups, pan disability. The list goes on. We've got so much going on here. Head over to bromleyfc.org to find out more about it. And everybody's very, very excited to get back into the schools next week and see what's going on and hopefully put on some good sessions as well.
It's always good, isn't it?
It is very good. It is very, very good. And the kids really appreciate the value and the prestige of Bromley Football Club now. You'd go in a few years ago and not many people would know who we were, you know, and who we represented. But now it's the complete opposite. And it's brilliant to see that the name and the prestige of the football club has really grown to that extent over the past few years, to the extent that these schools are very, very keen to have us involved
also,
with them.
It does give the players that sense of potentially heading, you know, down another career path after football. And I know we said it when Scott Wagstaff was on the episode, but he came to a school, didn't he? I think it was him and Marcus.
That's right, yeah. Harris Orpington.
Yeah, and we were there, and he said then, didn't he? He said that this is what he wanted to do, and you could tell at that point how he took control of the sessions and stuff that he would go on to be a coach, and here he is.
Absolutely, and good luck to him. Anyway, moving on then, Josh, and we are going to talk to... Well, this is kind of still Community Corner-ish because it's a man who is associated with the Community Trust and takes part in our activities, and it is the legend. Royalty has arrived again. It's Roy Remembers. Right, well, we're back with the most wholesome segment of this podcast. That can only be Roy Remembers. Roy, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Matt.
You've just been in Ravens chat. How was that today?
Manic as usual. About 50 people there today.
A bit rowdy, weren't
they? Yeah, a bit rowdy, yeah. Even Andy Woodman came in and says, it quieted down a bit.
He had to say a few words, didn't he? Yeah. No, but it's brilliant for Andy to come and say hello to everyone, isn't it, in all seriousness?
Absolutely, yeah. And it just shows you that he appreciates what we're doing down there and we're there on away games, you know, quite a lot of us from the Ravens chat. So, yeah, it's really important. I think it shows the togetherness of the club.
Absolutely. Yeah. And something else that will be shown is your face on live TV on Saturday as you're going to be interviewed by TNT Sports. Are you excited?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to go with quite an explosive interview.
No swearing, Roy.
Well, you should hear Roy during. I have the pleasure of sitting next to Roy in the matches. You get very into it, don't you, Roy?
Oh, very, yeah.
You've just been talking to us off air about what you're going to be telling us about today, and it's a really interesting one, actually, that kind of ties in with this weekend's opposition.
No, I'm going to do that another week, that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This week one is about a game that we've played at Arsenal.
They're definitely not this week's opposition.
Yeah.
Although we have two loan players from them now, so we can make the link there.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Go for it, Roy.
Floor's
yours.
Yeah. So today's one is a talk about it was played at Arsenal Football Ground on Saturday 5th of May 1951, and it was the London Senior Cup. And Bromley won 4-3. So the game ebbed and flowed. I've actually got the scorers here. For Bromley, it was Hopper in the 8th minute, Gregory in the 7th, 17th and 103rd minute. So it went into extra time. And Fuller in 63rd minute. And the guy for them, Evans, he scored a hat-trick in 11, 54 and 57th minute. And there was 11,078 people there.
Do you know how many Bromley fans?
Quite a lot. I read a report from about a few weeks before that. Bromley played at Willington, Northumberland, that's Chester Street, County Durham, and they took over 400 supporters up there.
That's incredible.
Yeah, 400 supporters.
It still bemuses me how many people actually went to watch these matches back in these times and previously. The crowds were incredible, weren't they?
Incredible, yes. Yeah, I mean, the 48-49 final at Wembley, I think they took about 90 odd coaches, and they had special trains from Petswood, Bickley, Bromley, going up to Wembley Park.
That's how you do it, isn't
it? Yeah. So the crowds were phenomenal in those.
Wow.
But you've got to appreciate, people, there was television around, but it was very primitive and not many people had televisions in them days. So football was the highlight of the week.
You're the highlight of our week coming on here.
Yeah. But what was notable about that season was we also won the Athenian League Championship, and the reserves won the Athenian Reserve section. And they also won the London Intermediate Cup as well.
So a good season all round.
A very good season, yeah. I mean, people got to remember in them days that so many amateur internationals, that top players wanted to come to places like Bromley to play football. Yeah,
incredible.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Incredible. And you've actually got a programme from that game here as well.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so it was threepence, the programme. It's only just like a single sheet.
Wow.
Back and
pen
front.
Pictures of today's players.
Pardon?
Pen pictures of today's
players,
I can
see. Yeah, pen pictures, yeah.
Wow. It's all very different now, Josh, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's brilliant, like, yeah.
Bulkier now.
Yeah, and there's the match report and everything.
Wow. You've got it all right.
Yeah. A picture taken at Highbury as well.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Would never have known that before you told us about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant knowledge.
Yeah. I just go through the folder sometimes and go, well, that'd be all right. I'll do that one.
Yeah,
well, I will do that Maidenhead one. I'll do that one for next week.
Yeah, we look forward to that.
Yeah.
Hopefully after 3 points, but we look forward to that.
Oh, definitely.
Let's talk quickly. We like to ask your opinion on the football side of things as well. Let's talk quickly about last week's trip to Altrincham, which was all round a very good afternoon.
A very good all round, yeah. A great time on the coach. a lot of singing on the way back, a lot of noise, wasn't there? But yeah, a very good game. I thought our game plan, though, was brilliant, but Andy executed. And everyone worked. I mean, the goalkeeper was phenomenal, wasn't he? Some of the saves what he made out of this world, really, wasn't he? He really got us that point, didn't he, in the end? I know it was all team effort, and defenders were throwing themselves in the way and blocking shots and all that, but he pulled out some great saves and a great win.
It was indeed, Roy. And we look ahead now to Saturday in front of the cameras again. And you and I said to each other earlier, it's nice to be on the TV twice in the opening month, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't get one game at home last year, so to get two in a short space of any time, we could be at it. We could be once we hit the top of the table, we could be on every week.
We'll wait for that moment, Roy. Yeah, thanks so much for your time, as usual.
You're welcome.
We look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you, Josh.
Moving on then. Let's see what I did there.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Very clever.
Moving on then. Anyway, what are we on next?
We are going to talk about the visit of Maidenhead United.
We've got a game on Saturday.
We do. Just a, you know, little kickabout on the TV.
That's what we do, isn't it?
TNT Sports cameras
are there.
And all that. It's going to be brilliant. And it's going to be, well, hot, I think. It's very warm today. So bring, you know, bring sunglasses, sun cream, all of that jazz. Water available from Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen.
Your Wembley bucket hats.
Good time to use it.
It's a good time to use it.
Sun cream is an absolute must.
Yeah.
Definitely. We are facing off against Maidenhead United, who typically have been a bit of a bogey side for us, a difficult side to play against. And really, that's been the case for as long as I can remember as a Bromley supporter. They started off their season with a 2-2 draw at home to AFC Fylde before an impressive 2-0 victory away to Dorking Wanderers. They lost their first match of the season against Hartlepool United by 3-1 the following game before beating Dagenham Redbridge by 1-0 at York Road. And their last three matches have been 0-0 draws, 3-0 draws on the spin. So they've got quite a good clean sheet record this season. Those 0-0s were against Oxford City, Kidderminster Harriers and Woking. A tough test awaits, Josh.
It does, yeah. I was actually at the Oxford City game. They're a tough team. I think now this season they've got a more of a National League side. I'm only saying that because of the players that they've got in now. Obviously, before the captain, don't know if anyone knows, but he's a tree surgeon. And Ryan Upwood, who was there before, is a window cleaner. So now they've got well-known...
Established, yeah.
So they've sort of been punching above their weight a little bit over the past few years, and they've done well to, you know, survive every year. And I think that's down to Alan Devonshire in the dugout. He's an experienced manager. And
what a player as well.
Oh, what a player. Won the FA Cup, didn't he, with West Ham?
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, a bit of a football legend. And obviously, played for England as well. And
even my dad. My dad's not a massive football fan, but even he talks about Alan Devonshire and how good he was.
Everyone loves Dev.
Well, he's coming here on Saturday and it's sure to be an entertaining match. Maidenhead United currently 10th in the table. Bromley are 13th. Only a point separates the two sides. Maidenhead United scored 6 and have conceded 5. Bromley have scored 7 but conceded 9. So Bromley have scored more goals, but Maidenhead have conceded less. Should be a good game of football. And being in front of the cameras does add an element to it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Everyone, for whatever reason, you don't feel 100% when you see the cameras, you'll soon...
Kicks you into life, yeah.
100% ready for the game. And, yeah, I mean, on paper, it's a winnable one, but like you said, we've not had the best of records. Obviously, went to York Road last year and it was Cole that scored the only goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
can he do the reverse this year?
True, yeah, because he's back, isn't he?
Can he win it for Bromley? He's back off his three-game suspension now, so he's available for selection, as are a number of other bodies we've been talking about. There's real competition for places, arguably for the first time this season.
Yeah, yeah, no, the squad's big, and Andy says it, and yeah, we've got players that we're going to have to leave out now, and it just makes it a little bit more competitive for, you know, getting that place in. And you know, Cole did really well before he got sent off, so no doubt he'll be trying to get his place back. But yeah, no, it should be a good game, but a tough one. Obviously, Craig Ross, like you said, has kept 5 clean sheets this season, so on a, you know, clean sheets wise, he's in better form than Grant Smith, but I think, you know, I don't want to say it, but it's probably got 0-0 written all over it.
Wow, that would be four for Maidenhead on the spin. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
The form that Grant Smith and Craig Ross is in.
No relation.
No relation, just a very bad coincidence for me then to trip up the names. Ethan Ross was in goal on Saturday.
Easily done, yeah. Easily done.
But yeah, so I think both on top form, you never know.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Come on down, watch the game. It's on TV, but come on down and see the action for real. Be part of a bumper crowd at Hayes Lane. Make it a great atmosphere for the players. Showcase to the TV cameras just how good the support can be. Tickets available online at bromleyfc.co.uk. You can buy them there. Remember, the prices do go up on the midnight before the game. So Friday at midnight or Saturday, first thing in the morning, if you like, the prices will go up by £2. So make sure you get them in advance. Or alternatively, you can pop into the club shop on Friday between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. To purchase your tickets.
And it's international break. So if you've got any Palace fans, drag them down.
Palace, Millwall, Charlton, yeah. Any club,
drag
really.
Drag them down.
All welcome at the Relocatum Community Stadium.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it very much. And someone else who's looking forward to it is Andy Woodman. He comes on the podcast every week to talk about the week gone by and preview the week ahead. And here's what Andy had to say in this edition.
I was going to interview you this week.
Oh, okay.
But can I interview Matt? Yeah. Can we do that? Can I interview you next week?
We'll do a role reversal, yeah.
Yeah. I think we should, yeah.
I want to do it. I thought that the other night. I woke up and I thought, I'm going to interview Matt for once.
All right. Yeah, we'll do that next week.
Next week, I'll do you. Cool. So we're going to do something different in the Andy Woodman podcast. We're going to speak to Matthew.
Woody takeover.
That's actually a really good idea.
Andy, welcome back to Ravens Weekly.
Lovely to see you.
Likewise. Saturday was lovely as well, wasn't it? Let's be honest. A really good victory on the road against a side who hadn't lost yet.
Yeah, very good result. And I thought the game plan worked well. We knew they'd have a lot of the ball. And it was about how we set our shape up and then what we done when we got the ball. I thought obviously the goal was fantastic by Corey for sure. But I thought we looked pretty comfortable. Last 15 minutes of the first half, we dropped a little deeper than I wanted, which then caused us a little bit of a problem. But we corrected that half-time, and I thought we was really, really good second half. I thought we actually played a bit more football as well in the right areas and got the result. Look, Grant Smith made a couple of fantastic saves. I'm not getting away from that. But I've been saying, like, you know, every week the performance has been getting better and better. And, you know, we're still not where we want to be, but we're definitely heading in the right direction, and I think people can see that with the way the team's performing.
Sam Woods, when he signed for us back in the summer, was carrying an injury and hadn't played for a few weeks. He's come back into the side now and started 3 games on the spin, and you picked out him as one of the star performers on Saturday as well.
I thought it was important, really, to I don't like to pick out individuals, but I thought it was important to mention Sam. Sam came in here in the end of last season. He had an operation on his ankle. He couldn't do a lot of pre-season, then he was playing catch up, and it's very important that people know that people like Sam and Cole Kapika, they weren't at the level of fitness of our team, and we are a fit team, but they've done loads extra and loads after and on days off. So and credit to the sports science Tom, he put something in place, and these boys are grafted. I spoke to Sam the other day. He said he's lost a stone. And it, not that he was fat, he's just had to tone up and get his body back into playing football again. So credit to Sam. I was chuffed with Sam the weekend. He does what he does. He's a brilliant addition to us in many ways, on and off the pitch. A real good character and an honest professional.
I remember when you were looking at signing Todd Miller, you spoke of his past and what he's achieved and how much you believed in him, and you brought him on. You brought James Vennings on as well. Two inspired substitutions, both of them combining for that second goal, and Todd Miller's first in a Bromley shirt. What a moment for him.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's so nice now to look at the bench, and I mean this with respect, where I've got options. In the beginning of the season, I was looking at the bench thinking, wow, we're young, or we've got a lot of options. Now I've got options, and Todd coming on, he went up top. He's a live wire. He doesn't always know what he's going to do, I don't think, which is good. I don't mind that. You know, he's off the cuff. And look, Vennings come on, and I must say this, you know, Vennings come on the game before, and he was so eager to do well. He was running around, getting caught out of position a little bit, getting played around against Southend. So we sat down with him this week, and we showed him little clips of, look, as much as you want to do well, just keep your shape, and there's a right moment to go. Vennings just took it on board brilliantly, and it showed it. You know, he waited his moment and then went and won the ball back, and the pass, the waiter pass for Todd was brilliant, and then Todd slotted it home lovely. So that's nice when it works like that, particularly as a manager, because sometimes you can put your subs on and there's no effect. But I think we're now getting a squad of players that are all chomping at the bit.
I think post-match on Saturday was one of the best examples of the connection between the players and the fans. There was some really lovely moments there, which actually included Grant Smith giving his gloves to Big John from Ravens Chat. And it was a lovely thing to watch, and especially for those supporters who, let's remember, there were train strikes, had to battle quite hard to get up to that game.
Yeah, I mean, that is amazing, and the expense it cost them. Look, I'm always big on it. I've always been big on it. Everywhere I've been big on it, you know, to always make sure that when I've played for clubs many years ago, I had a connection with the supporters, never disrespected them, and always made sure I give my all for them and actually give them my time, because they just want your time sometimes. And I made that clear with my son, wherever he's gone, buy into the club you're at, buy into the people you work for, buy into the supporters that come and watch you every week. I see him doing it, and I've sent the same message to my team. You know, these people, it doesn't matter if there's one man watching you or 100, they spend their money to come and support you. And this group of players, like the group of players last year, we know that it's important. We know that we want to show that they're appreciated. And the message is the same for me. As you know, we're one club. You know, we have to be one club. We have to be one community club. And I'm hoping there's people that don't go to Palace this weekend or any Premiership games come to us, and they get a sense of that feeling of, wow, this club's got a real good feeling, a connection with the fans.
And just on that note, you popped into Ravens Chat earlier. Now, that was something we started out in the early days of your time here to combat loneliness in older people. And it's just grown and grown and grown. You got a round of applause as you walked in this morning. But isn't it incredible to see something so simple actually make such a difference to these people's lives?
Do you know, it's funny, I was thinking about that as well, because I think when we first started it, it might have been 6 or 7 people. And loneliness is not a nice thing. Particularly, you know, at some of their stage of life. And look at them today. They're all, I stood upstairs and watched them for a bit. They're all laughing and joking and bantering. And it's a brilliant, I mean, there must have been about 40 there today, I'm sure. Yeah. There must have been 40 of them there today. And if there's anyone else out there that's lonely, come along. It's such a welcoming group of people. They all know, they all tell me what I should be doing better, which is nice. John particularly. But it's brilliant. I try to pop in there every week and see them. And obviously, I think they're already teeing their numbers up for the Christmas dinner I buy them every year. So, but it's lovely. They're a lovely group of people, men and women, and it's important. It's important to give back. You know, it's important to give people time. That doesn't cost you anything.
Back to first team matters then, and on the pitch, you brought in no less than 4 players in the last week. It's been a busy one, but you must be delighted to get them over the line.
Yeah, I mean, I kept hinting that they was in the wings, and you always worried that they might fall through. I've been blessed by probably my connections in the game that have helped me out and stuck to what they could help me with. Arsenal have been brilliant, sent me 2 really good players. Really good players, ones that I've really sort of been after for a long time. So I'm delighted to get the two boys from Arsenal. I know them really well. Lewis Lee from Preston. Obviously, you can imagine I've had an inside track on Lewis for a long time. I met Lewis when we played Rochdale. I met him again at Altrincham. I went and met his family after the Altrincham game when Preston played at home. I met the manager of Preston. I met the chief executive of Preston. So I really went a long way to try and get Lewis to come. Lewis wasn't the problem, actually. It was just making sure that everyone at Preston knew that he, you know, we was going to look after him properly. So that was good. Who else be?
Sorry, I'm Ryan Jones.
Ryan Jones, sorry, mate. Sorry, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan was almost a week before. Ryan Jones, yeah, Joey Barton, you know, really helped me out there. And we'd looked at Ryan a lot at Hungerford. He was brilliant down there. He's an exciting player as well. So I spoke to Bristol Rovers and Joey and that, and you know, they was more than happy for him to come to us. They was very complimentary of him. So yeah, we've got some good players in the door. So that's been good. It's been a good week for us. And listen, you must take a bit of credit for that, Matt. I know you get a bit embarrassed, but you spent all day Friday, was it? Or all day Friday till midnight here at the club on your day off, trying to get these deals done in time for the deadline with some of the Premiership clubs. So yeah, credit to you. And that's what I say. I might get the pat on the back for getting them, but I need people like yourself and everyone else at the club to get them across the line and do all the important bits. So yeah, but it's good effort by both of us, you know, really chuffed.
Well, thank you. We got it done, didn't we?
We got it done, mate.
We got it done.
But let's hope they're good.
Yeah, pressure's on them,
yeah,
now.
Let's hope they're good.
One thing I noticed actually, talking about this in being quite closely involved with it, is actually how much the clubs respect us, these big clubs, that they're happy for their players to come and play under you at this club, which is incredible, really, when you're talking about the likes of Arsenal and Preston North End.
Yeah, I read something the other day, which even by my standards kind of made me quite happy, really. And I'm not one for ego. I've never been that. I think you know me well enough, everyone at the club. But there was a comment that, wow, I never thought I'd see players from these sort of clubs coming to my club at Bromley. And I sort of stepped back because it felt like the norm to me. And I sort of had a look at other clubs in that league and yeah, we've done well. We've done really well. And we've got a lot of trust from people. And look, I think people respect me in the game. I've been in the game. I've worked at a good level. And what we've done with players before, you know, we've been brutally honest with them. If they've been good, we've told the clubs they've been good and we've helped them. And if they haven't been quite good enough, we've told the clubs they need to do this and this to get to this level. I've maintained my honesty and my integrity of all of that with the clubs and my relationships with people. And they've really trusted us. And I think that should be credit to not just me, my coaching staff and Bromley now, where we are as a football club. I think that's really important. And I think, I mean, you wouldn't believe the players I've had to turn down that people are offering me, because we just couldn't take everybody. I mean, some of the players I've had to say, look, we're pretty much full now. We can't take any more, which is great for us. You know, we've never in that position a couple of years ago when I first come.
And looking at these four players that have come in particular, they've come in the building. They've thought, wow, looking at how it is. Not only that, they've just slotted into the group. Going into that players' lounge at lunchtime, they're just part of the furniture now. They're just part of the group. Everyone is so welcoming. Looking at Grant Smith taking Lewis Lee under his wing as well when he first came in with his mum. It's really nice to see that culture embedded in that squad.
Yeah, and again, I think it's something I've worked at. I think I've got a policy here that I don't sign idiots, I think we call them. Boy, there's another word we use for them, but I won't sign them. They have to buy into what we're about. They have to buy. They almost, you know, I make it clear to any player that comes here, whether for whatever club they're from, you forget about that club now, you're a Bromley player. Buy into us, buy into the Bromley way. Use us, you know, every way you can to get your next move. But you have to buy into what we're doing to get that next move, and it will come. And I've embedded that in every player that's come to buy into us, right from back from Ellery Balcombe to Mitchell. All of those players, you know, so that's something I've really been big on. And I believe I've got a real good group of people here from top to bottom, you know, really good people that you know, conduct themselves right on and off the pitch. They want to win. They know new players are coming in. That's competition for them. But there's no animosity because they know they've got to welcome them in. Because, you know, if we all win, we all win together. And that's the most important thing. And we've, like you say, the culture's good here. And I've always maintained I want to have a couple of players in every position. I want competition all over the place. There'll be weeks, probably like this week, it's going to be difficult for me because there's people not even going to make the bench. But that's great. It's not great for that person. But what's that person going to do next week? He's going to train even harder and harder to get in the team. And the ones that are in the team, they're going to be working even harder not to come out the team. And that's a competitive, healthy culture that we've got here.
You touched on Mitchell Bergkamp there. I think it's important we talk about him. I've seen a few people worried about what's going on with Mitchell. So I thought the best person to ask is yourself. So can you update us on that?
Yeah, well, I think it's time to update everyone on Mitchell because there's been a lot of sort of radio silence with Mitchell. And everyone's been wondering, where's this great Mitchell Bergkamp and et cetera, et cetera. Mitchell's really been unfortunate. He's had three concussions now. One of them was an accidental concussion, pretty much our first pre-season game at Millwall. So he's had three concussions. The last one has been a little bit probably more worrying than we wanted. He hasn't been himself. He's not been right. We've sent him for scans. He's now under a professor. And yeah, I mean, it's been real tough for young Mitchell and his family. He's on the road to recovery, I think. You know, we kind of feel like we have a step forward and maybe a couple of steps back, but it's going to just take time. I mean, he's under a top professor at the moment. So, we've tried to keep sort of an air of privacy over it and until we know what's going on. But I think it's important to know that Mitchell's been really struggling, with this head injury, and we wish him well. You know, he's tried to come in and he's had a setback, and it's been frustrating for him. But his health's the most important thing. So you probably won't see Mitchell for, I'd have said, at least probably another month. Touch wood, everything goes as it should go. So that's been tough for all of us, but we wish him well.
Indeed, we can't wait to see him back on the pitch and out there in action. Moving on then and to this week's opposition. We're back in front of the TV cameras. Didn't get a home game on TV last year. It's nice to have two in the opening month. I know you'll say you'll let me know if it's nice after the game on Saturday, but in all seriousness, Maidenhead are a side that have started the season well.
Maidenhead, listen, Alan Devonshire is a respected man and I respect him. A lovely man, knows how to set a team up, knows how to win, knows football inside out, knows this league inside out. They're a good team. He knows how to set a team up. We've always had tough games against Maidenhead since I've been at this football club. Saturday will be no different. But as I've said to my team, let's take care of our business now. Let's not worry about anyone else. Let's just take care of how we go about our business. And if we keep putting in the performances, the results will follow. It'll be a tough game. It'll be nice to be on telly. Obviously, Wrexham are not in the league no more, so that's why we go on telly a bit more. which they must be killing them. They can't get Wrexham. I bet they've tried to ring Wrexham to see if they can get them on telly.
Come back for one day.
I bet they pray we get them in the cup or something. So, it's nice. It's nice to get Maidenhead and Bromley on telly. You know, I think it's important you get Maidenhead and Bromley on telly because we are not Chesterfield, Wrexham, Notts County, etc. So we need the exposure. And hopefully my team can put on a performance that people think, how good are they? And we can do ourselves proud. But looking forward to it. Yeah, and I think it'll be a big crowd here as well. So telly aside, I think we'll have a bumper crowd. You know, we haven't been beaten in five.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. Thanks so much for your time, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andy for his time there. Always great to catch up with him. He's always so honest and
I'm
open.
Looking forward to next week now.
Yeah,
he's going to be interviewing you.
I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to it, to be honest. I'm not used to being on the other side of it.
I think it's going to be good. I think he should sit in your seat.
You think I should sit in the hot seat?
Well, yeah, you're the one getting grilled.
I don't know what he's going to ask me about.
I don't.
What on earth could he conceivably ask me about?
I think there's many things. I'm looking forward to it. He's going to write a list and everything.
he will definitely be writing a list. Oh, I guarantee you he's going to put so much preparation into this.
100%.
He'll treat it as if it's a fixture.
He will.
Oh, I'm a bit scared, to be honest.
I would be scared.
Hang on, he might turn it on you as well.
Nah.
You never know.
No, I'm the technical guy. I can edit anything.
You still talk. You talk now. You didn't want to before, but you do now.
But any questions that he pings to me, I can just delete.
Pass the buck.
Yeah.
We'll see. But anyway, if that gives you a reason to tune in to next week's podcast, then so be it. We'll be back then for more. However, just in the meantime, before we finish, our under-21s are back in action in the Cup against Godalming this coming Saturday, the 9th of September. That's 3 o'clock kickoff. So at the same time as the men's first team game against Maidenhead United. And of course, another shout out to the women's team who will be taking on Sevenoaks Town in the FA Cup this Sunday, the 10th of September, 3 o'clock kickoff at the Relocatum Community Stadium. Good luck to them. Remember, if you're a member, you can get your tickets free of charge. If not, book yours online, bromleyfc.co.uk. Come on down and support the women's team as they look to go on a run in the Cup. Just a couple of things before we finish. We have our fans forum coming up in Brimfield's Bar and Kitchen this coming Tuesday, the 12th of September. It's a 7 o'clock start and you need to register your place online. And if you'd like to submit a question to either one of the panel, which is Chairman and Owner Robin Stanton-Cleeves, CEO Mark Hammond and First Team Manager Andy Woodman, you can do so via fansforum@bromleyfc.co.uk. Please make sure you get your questions in a timely manner. Finally, Josh, we got some voting going on.
We have, yeah. Player of the Month is back.
It's back. The first month of the season is over. You know that when the Player of the Month vote comes out.
Yeah. So head over to the website and cast your vote.
I've done just that.
Yeah.
Make sure you follow suit.
But Matt, you can't vote for yourself.
I would never
see the results. You can't vote.
Never vote for myself, even if I was a player, which I'm not. I'm far from it. Trust me, far from it. I think on that note, it's time to end today's podcast. But thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you all for your continued positive feedback. We're really glad that you enjoy listening to us, and that really makes us keep going with this. We do really enjoy bringing you the latest news from the football club here. But my name is Matt Hall. It's been a pleasure to be joined by Josh Tindall, the man over there. Thank you, Josh, and we'll be back next week once again as we bring you the next instalment of Ravens Weekly. Thanks everyone, and we hope to see you on Saturday. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.